Welcome to KNEO Radio Podcast. KNEO Radio AM and FM Radio Podcast covering the heart of Texas and the Northwest Hill Country, including McCullough, Mason, Menard, Concho, San Saba, and portions of Brown and Llano counties. KNEO Radio is your podcast to hear interviews with special guests, local news, events, agriculture, and community affairs. For more KNEO Podcast, visit KNEOradio.com. KNEO Radio Podcast, making a difference.
Brady City Council met for a regular session last night.
We did.
Was it a long session or a short one?
Actually, we finished about 7:20, so
yeah,
shorter. Yeah. And we finished just about everything on the agenda except the executive session by 6:30.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, but then we had some discussions in the executive session. But we started off 6 o'clock there in the municipal courtroom, like always. Invocation, Pledge of Allegiance, no public comments, although we did have 3 folks that were there, members of the public, to express interest in some of the agenda items. Consent agenda was just the minutes from the previous meeting, passed 5-0, no presentations, no public hearings for us on the agenda, so we moved to the individual concerns. The first one was discussion, consideration, and possible action to elect Mayor Pro Tem. Our charter very specifically says that at the next meeting after the election of new officials to the city council, new members to the city council, that we have an oral vote. Each person on the council, including the mayor, get a vote on this one to pick the mayor pro tem for the next year. Since we didn't have anybody elected this time, that kind of slipped out of the field of view. And in the previous meeting, we didn't have all the council members there, so we saved it until this meeting. It doesn't take a lot of discussion. We just start at one end of the council and ask them who they want to vote for. Everybody except the mayor, obviously, is already nominated for the position, and the vote came out 4-2. In favor of keeping the current mayor pro tem, Jane Huffman. And so we move to the second item, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the second and final reading of Ordinance 1340 of the City of Brady adopting a special use permit as requested by Lisa Berglund, to allow for a bed and breakfast in the single-family residential 5,000 square foot category of the zoning district for the property located at 1004 South College. So the way that works, we didn't rezone anything in this case, but the book on our ordinances and our zonings talks about certain things that can be done within a particular zone, and the special use permit is one of those things, and a bed and breakfast fits in well with where we're going with the City of Brady. So that passed 5-0. Next, discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the second and final reading of Ordinance 1341 of the City of Brady adopting a zoning change, in this case, from single-family residential district to manufactured home district on the property located at 1817 Old Mason Road. When we zone, we make sure we don't do any spot zoning so that we change the zoning in the middle of something that's already laid out. This property is right on the edge of manufactured homes and a single family, and we had approved one that vicinity recently, so there was very little discussion on that. It also passed 5-0. Next was discussion, consideration, and possible action regarding the second and final reading of Ordinance 1342 to amend the fiscal year 22 budget to allow for municipal purposes. As we near the end of the fiscal year, we always adjust for the changes that came along to align the budget for that last little bit of the year. And in this case, it affected a number of the different budgets. We have a general fund that has part of that, and one of the areas that was affected that required an appropriation of $29,000 to make all the money work out from our reserves. But the council approved to conduct a survey out at the lake for the properties that were there. It cost $30,000. The council approved the purchase of land from Brady National Bank that is adjacent and will be part of the property for the renovated fire station, which is currently the police station. And the funding was for additional architecture fees that are required to develop that future fire and EMS location. But that worked out great for us to pick up the rest of that block to allow for the fire station to have drive-through capability with their fire engines in the plan that's there, and to not close Second Street, which was part of the original concept for the conversion of that property. And it turned out that doing everything that we needed to do with the rearrangement, buying the property, cost a little bit less than closing Second Street and moving sewer pipes and water pipes and all that. So there was no concern about additional money spent that we hadn't planned for. Council approved the purchase of body and vehicle cameras, new ones for the police department, and the staff requested to provide new funding for the cost of reworking the HVAC system in City Hall. When I first became mayor a little over 9 years ago, one of the things that I did was tour City Hall, and it was apparent 9 years ago that the heating and cooling system there at City Hall couldn't keep up with the winter or the summer. And so we had done a few things along the way, but they were just Band-Aids that didn't really solve the problem. And so now we're going to get that fixed so that we're not at risk of closing City Hall because it's too cold and we can't warm it up enough for the people working there. And in the summertime, when it really gets hot there on the corner of the square, we don't have to have additional fans strung out until we get to the point that we just need to close shop for a while. So we're going to work on that to get it done. The general construction fund, we adjusted with formal approval in the budget to reflect that the city would have funds to buy that property at Brady National Bank, and the architecture fees for the building, the funding to come from the general fund that I just talked about, and a detailed write-up about the HVAC system. Electrical fund supplied some of the money that was there. Commercial and analog meters need to be replaced. Commercial meters are the automated meters, the that years ago we had installed. Some of those have gotten to the age that they need to be replaced. And the analog meters are the old meters for the folks that didn't want to get the new automated meters, that we left that option open for them. So commercial and analog meters, not everybody's meters. Due to the expected wait time of about a year for ordering, the staff had made the request to set the money up and go ahead and make that order. The Water and Sewer Fund, Water Construction, and the Wastewater Treatment Plant Construction Funds picked up some of the money just to shift within the water and sewer money that we have there. We have to be really careful with that, because with our grants and loan forgiveness programs that are associated with both of those projects, they are very specific that you can't take that money and shift it over to some other part of the budget. So we had been working to make sure that there was not going to be a big spike as we bring the new drinking water system online, and we'll be able to do that. But we need to shift some funds from the Water and Sewer Fund into the Water Construction and Wastewater Construction Funds, a little bit different part of the budget. Utility Support Fund, fees for the city for credit card agencies have increased significantly, more than expected, and fee collection from the users and tracking close to current budget projections. The staff proposed to reduce funding originally allocated for the technology replacement to cover the additional expenditure of the city fees for 2022. And that's just like any other commercial purchase you do with a credit card. If you come in and pay your utility bill with a credit card, there's a small service fee that's as part of all that. So that was the third ordinance of the night that allowed the shifting of funds for municipal purposes. The last item on the individual agenda was discussion regarding modifying city ordinance for folks that had expressed concern about trapping within the city limits. And to be more specific, the focus was folks that were trapping axis deer primarily. We didn't have any concerns about trapping raccoons and possums and other things that you might trap that you find around the house.
Armadillos.
When the folks out at Simpson Lake Club with wildlife, the additional wildlife that they get out there. Discussion on all of that, some input from the audience about the concerns for trapping. The concerns turn more into concern about the whitetail. But since you can't trap whitetail anyway, we had been communicating with the game warden, and the game warden looked into everything that was going on and said there's nothing illegal about what they're doing. So after a healthy discussion on all of that, the council took a motion and voted unanimously to not change our trapping ordinance, which is just a couple of lines anyway, basically for that. No discussion on the staff reports that were there, the monthly financial and utility reports, or the monthly activity reports, upcoming events for the July 4th festival, starting on the 2nd. A quick question from the city secretary to remind folks that council members are invited to ride along on the fire trucks and the police vehicles as part of that parade and toss candy out to the kids that are there aligning the parade. The budget work sessions are going to be on the 11th, 13th, and 14th of July from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, and with a backup on the 18th of July. Those are open meetings, but they are not terribly exciting meetings as we go through that. And we do present all of that before that's finally approved for that. Well, then Jay May has a birthday in July. Pretty well covered the announcements that were there. And so we took a five-minute break at 6:35, and began to stretch out just a little bit, but reconvened and then in the open session so that we could fulfill the requirement of reading what the executive session was going to be for. We did not take up the option that was in the agenda for consultation with the attorney, although the next one involved that a little bit. But in the executive session, pursuant to Section 551.074, Personnel Matters, the City Council met to deliberate appointment, employment, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline, or dismissal of a public officer or employee. Now, we didn't do all those things, but we are compelled by the Texas Open Meeting Act to read that category and that section to the open meeting. And our more specific part of that was the city manager, Aaron Corbell. We had discussions from 7:18, about 6:45, executive session ended at 7:17, coming back into the open session and announcing in the open session that no action was taken in the executive session. It would be covered in the open session that was there. And then we closed the meeting at 7:19.
Okay.
That pretty well did it. All the votes were unanimous, with the exception of the Mayor Pro Tem, which, again, was 4-2 for Jane Huffman.
Going back to the trapping a bit, they're talking about there's no change in the ordinance that we have already, basically, that says you can trap access or can't.
You can.
Can.
Okay. It does not specifically say you can trap access. It says you can trap on your own property for animals that it's legal to trap for, basically.
Yeah, and you can't legally trap whitetails, so that's...
That's correct. Yeah. Game warden will be all over you if you try to trap whitetails. And I asked the question as part of that, so if they're trapping axis deer, what are they doing with them? And are they harvesting the deer and after they trap it? And the answer was no, if they're trapping them on their land, and I think primarily the concern was at Simpson Lake Club, and then they sell it to ranchers that they want to access deer on their property, whether that's the exotics or something else.
Okay.
Jay made the comment that of the really big trophy bucks that were out at around Simpson Lake Club, there's one that's still out there, but the others were trapped and sold for a high price. earlier for the trapper that we have a contract with, and we split the money 50-50 for him to trap those and whatever ranchers want. He takes that into account. He traps out at the lake back in the more dense foliage that's out there, not in the open view of Simpson Lake Club. And our part of the effort is gaining a little bit of money off of it. I don't have that number off the top of my head, but it's it's significant enough that it's certainly worth doing. But part of it too was to thin the axis deer herds. And Jay made the comment that if you go out just about sunset, maybe just after, and you drove the loop around Simpson Lake Club, it would not be unusual for you to see up to 400 deer in that short, 10-minute drive, less.
Gosh.
And his other comment was, and if you see 400, there's probably another 400 out there that you don't see back in the brush in part of that area. So that it generated some discussion and, as I said, some participation by the folks that were there as part of the audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is an issue because, the overabundance of those deer out there of both kinds is a problem. Or has been identified as a problem.
Yeah, I think we're going to get to the point here where we've got to do something. The trapping is not thinning the herd to the point that it's a real problem. And again, Jay May, being a resident out there at Simpson Lake Club, remarked that the challenge with the axis deer is they eat the grass. The whitetails are more likely to eat things in your flower bed, flowers and some different leaves and things. But the axis eat the grass, and they eat the grass right down to the roots and pull it out of the ground and eat it all. So if you want a nice yard out there, you have to watch out for the axis deer.
Yeah, that's the deal. Okay. Well, we're all getting ready for the 4th of July. Of course, as you said, the members of the city council are going to be riding the city vehicles, passing out candy.
And, get back in the rhythm of normal times, not new normal, but normal.
Normal,
things that we've always done for Brady.
Yep.
We, in a different issue not associated with city council, we had a very successful weekend with Top Gun Maverick.
Mm-hmm.
We sold out for Friday night and Saturday night, and we were within, 13 so selling out. We have 156 seats that are there. But when we get up around 140 tickets sold, we have a sign that we put up, and then we make sure people understand that if you come to the movie that late, we'll sell you a ticket if you want it, but you may not be able to sit with your friends that came with you. And the most important part is if you buy that ticket and then you're dissatisfied with having to scatter your group out or with the seat you wound up with, then they come back to the ticket booth and we refund their money.
Yeah.
It having people go online and buy their ticket online, there's no visibility to how much that's been done at the ticket booth. There's not. So we're tearing off tickets and the first night we have a much more of a challenge with folks that had, came in with their iPhone to show that they had purchased a ticket, and one group that came in announced, on-call tickets at sporting events, that eight tickets for that family that was, or that party that was going to be there. And so we had some shuffle at the end for folks that turned back around and wanted their money back. But I think for the weekend ticket sales, not cash on hand, but ticket sales through all the different ways, $2,035. So the first time in a long time that we've sold out at a single showing. I think only the second or third time that we've sold out twice in a row, and I don't believe we've ever sold out all three showings.
That's great. It's great to have a movie that popular.
Yeah, and there are different folks that are having different programs associated with the theater,
right,
that can rent the theater and then do those programs. Brady's Got Talent is the show that they're working for July. So the second weekend in July will be the opportunity for folks that have signed up to do their act, audition for a slot in the contest, and they'll select the folks that are going to compete. And then the second weekend in August, the actual contest will take place, with the top brightest being $1,000 for the prize winner that's there, and additional prizes that are there, but the top prize at $1,000. So, and then I think our plan is to go back to the second weekend. We will do live shows,
mm-hmm,
as we are able to book them. And there's even some discussion that with a live show on Saturday, maybe we could still show a movie on Friday and Sunday as part of that. But
yeah,
I don't think that's a definite yet that they're going to do that, and I don't think they're going to do it for the Brady's Got Talent,
okay,
weekends.
Going to be, well, they've got a lot of setup to go along with Brady's Got Talent.
That's the plan, yes, I understand it. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, if all those people get registered, they can get signed up and become famous.
It's amazing the talent that's
out
here
there
in McCulloch County that nobody knows about, except maybe a small group around the person that's got the talent.
Thank you for listening to the KNEL Radio Podcast. Be sure to tune in live to KNEL 95.3 FM and KNEL 1490 AM and KNELradio.com. For more KNEL Radio Podcast, including KNEL Sports, visit KNELradio.com homepage and click on the podcast of your choice to listen, download, and enjoy. KNEL Radio Podcast, making a difference. Thank you for listening today.